Welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney. We have James the Fat Man Stevens.
Hello.
And the only person I know who says VD is his friend, Ryan Preston.
Everybody's my friend.
That's a lie.
So, anybody want to go? I have a couple.
I was going to jump in on one because I texted Brian a picture today. He probably doesn't really remember it, but...
I do remember it, and I remember looking at a couple of different things. I was going to text a few different things, but I was like right in the middle of work and explaining what the fuck I was looking at was going to take more time than I had.
So it was one of those things that if your box walked by, it would actually require you explaining why you're looking at what you're looking.
Well, James, look, here's the fucking thing, guys. When James fucking texts you something, you have to deal with the fact that you are kind of texting with a psychopath.
You mean the fact
not in the traditional psychopathic sense, but just like you're dealing with a crazy person when you're texting James.
So,
and every now and again, you take a walk into crazy town. So if he sends you a picture, it could be of any thousands of reasons, and it's sort of your job to Sherlock Holmes why the fuck he sent it.
Let's put it this way.
That's a pretty good description, I gotta say.
Just put it this way. There's a chance that if you open up an image of whatever James sends you around your boss, there's a good chance you won't have a job after you open it.
That is true. Well, I sent Ryan two pictures of meat. Just to make that sound as creepy as I can.
Are we talking about your meat or ground beef? I mean,
exactly?
We
are talking about ground beef.
This was grocery store meat.
Because yeah,
I think it was ground beef, if I remember.
So the reason why I did that is because Ryan and I had a conversation the other day. So just look at this ratio. That's all I want you to look at is the ratio. And then this ratio as well. Now, right now,
we're talking about like the 80-20.
Yeah, but what I found at the store, and I haven't seen this in quite a while, is there was the 93% beef and 7% fat. And then there was another one that was 73% beef, and the rest was, the 27% was fat. Now, the reason why this kind of comes up in my brain, and I'm bringing it up here, is. It makes me happy to see that there are still the higher fat content on ground beef. Reason being, flavor. And making it be tender. It's like Kobe beef. That's why everybody loves Kobe beef.
That's the reason that you and I like it. I have a feeling that we can thank the, what do you call it? The keto fucking diet people for bringing that shit back.
I was done with diets back when, what was it, the Malibu body or beach diet or some shit?
Well, ketogenic diet is really good for people on who are diabetic.
Yeah.
Because it reduces carbs.
Well, it's like no carbs. It's basically like high fat and protein.
Yeah, pretty
and
much.
Greens.
Yeah. But, for me, this came out of Harris Ranch. Most of us Californians know where Harris Ranch is. It's the really stinky part on the 5. But what I was really thinking, though, is it's good to see that Americans are changing back to not being so scared of higher fat meat, because that's a lot of flavor. And Brian and I were talking about this a while back about, what was it, Meat Eater, the TV show? Is what's sprung up.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you hear that grinding noise,
that's just my teeth.
Unfortunately, something's wrong with my studio, and I just got here, so... Hopefully I'll be able to figure out what the hell it is, because it's driving me fucking bad.
I wasn't supposed to be here today. Anyways.
We'll do it after the show when it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, folks.
So, but the guy at Meat Eaters, he actually goes out and kills his own animals and breaks them down and then does like one or two dishes with whatever he's killed.
Like the scene from Fried Green Tomatoes?
But
he's a big fan of showing, like, oh, here's what we're doing with this. Here's how much meat I'm going to pack a freezer with, for X amount
of
time.
He actually breaks it down?
Oh, yeah. He's a very good guy at explaining.
Oh, that's
and then
badass.
He also, when he's out hunting, because there's a lot of videos out there with him, most of the show is him out hunting. You'll also see him basically live off the land by killing a certain animal.
But he actually breaks down the animal?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, he'll field dress it and pack it out of there and freeze it. But the way he see, like every, I want to say like 10th episode or so, he does like a cooking show.
Yeah.
Like a cooking special where he actually goes through and says, hey, this is, this cut of meat is this, this cut of meat is that.
Yeah.
You know, this animal is good for this. And some hunters don't like this, but here's this dope way of cooking it.
Yeah. And one of the times he was, he actually was kind of preparing like more of a ground beef style one. And he's like, well, this is a really lean piece of meat. So I'm using extra fat in there to help.
Yeah, because if you're talking about like a deer who spends its entire day
walking and running,
you're talking about a really lean animal. So you have to add fat to it because it'd just be, you wouldn't believe how, you know, tasteless it is without the fat.
Yeah. Yeah, so I came across that in the store today. I'm like, I'm in shock that I was able to find that more of a ratio.
That's pretty cool. If I found that, below 80%, make burgers with that shit.
Oh, exactly.
So, what do you guys think of Netflix canceling Luke Cage and Iron Fist?
There are so many of those on Netflix, man. Yeah. I mean, people bitch about how many movies fucking Marvel does. I mean, there's 15 shows on Netflix.
So here, my take was like, I watched episodes of all the seasons, but I didn't really watch the whole thing through. It didn't really excite me. I was excited at first, and let's be honest, I never thought these are characters that could really carry their own show to begin with, because they're not. They're nothing special. I mean, I like both characters, but I just...
Well, they were racing towards the Defenders series as quickly as possible. They did one season of them and Jessica Jones and just jumped right into it.
So that was kind of my...
Because they knew that was the big sell, you know? Because
that was kind of my wonder. Wow, that's really loud there. I wonder if that's what they're going to do. You know, they cancel those two to jump into the Defenders, but... I don't know. I just wasn't impressed. I mean, realistically, by the way, again, sorry about the noise. Realistically, I just don't know if they're going to bring him back because I wasn't really impressed. I was.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the only ones that I've really enjoyed have been Punisher and Daredevil.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to bring up. And I mean, in the more ancillary characters around Defenders, I would have to say I actually enjoyed Iron Fist over Luke Cage. And I mean, I did kind of like it.
I'm sorry. I just, the funniest thing ever just popped up. How do you spell canceled? Just popped up on my Google search.
Yeah, it actually says, how do you spell canceled?
I'm sorry. That's like that's the weirdest thing I think I've seen on Google today. Was how do you spell canceled? Also, the other thing Netflix is running into is Disney starting their own streaming service, which is probably going to cost $10 a month. So it's like Hulu and you know, Disney
Prime
wants
in Netflix.
Yeah. And it's going to get even worse now that Disney's buying Fox. You know, I mean, granted, they're getting the X-Men, but there's also a lot of content. So sooner or later, you know, I don't know, because I'm actually kind of pissed at Disney just not putting their shit on everything. I think that would be better. I don't really care about it.
Disney has been doing this for freaking ever. You know what I mean? They've put movies in their vault for, you know, 15 years before re-releasing the new special edition. So,
but what Disney's doing though is they're putting much their own streaming service, which means they're going to end up removing all their content as soon as the contracts run out. You're not
right,
going to find.
But that's my point, though, is that they've made a business off of being as exclusive as possible and sort of drip feeding people. It's like the fucking diamond industry.
I don't know. I think personally, the only way I would ever buy it, and this is my opinion, if they have access to the entire back catalog, like,
they won't.
You know, Songs of the South, the Vault series, a bunch of stuff they just never show. I mean, they won't. Like, hell, even give me the old Donald Duck cartoons, that, you know, from the 40s,
dude, 50s,
and
60s. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, right?
Like, the shit I had to find on YouTube that's quasi-quantity.
You mean the one
open up the fucking vault, I'm in, man.
Well, I actually have, I forgot what they're called. I think it's the Vault series. It came in like a... The hell? They come in like a steel box, and it actually has a lot of the Disney war cartoons, and that came out 15 plus years ago, as far as having the Donald Duck and the Nazi stuff. But I just
I want all the old Donald Duck instructional videos where he teaches you very poorly how to play billiards. I don't know if you guys remember that one or the. No, Goofy did the exercise videos and the other instructional videos. The one I'm talking about with Daffy Duck, I remember seeing in school. It was probably in like the fucking fifth grade. They played this video. It was Donald Duck. There was this guy narrating it, like the same one that was doing the Goofy ones. But this guy was literally explaining the math of billiards. Like straight up, here's how to work the diamond system in billiards. You know, and it was Donald Duck.
I have a feeling this episode's going to drive everybody nuts.
With the fan?
Yeah. I really want Ludwig von Drake. I want all his stuff. Do you know who he is?
I have no idea.
He's the professor in the Walt Disney cartoons. He was first introduced on September 24th, 1961.
Oh, yes, I do like
Ludwig von Drake. One that they modeled off of, like... Peter Lorre.
Basically he's a bald duck, gray hair, and he's really smart. I don't know.
And really short.
What's short? I really don't know.
Oh shit.
I'm thinking of
Warner Brothers shit. Never mind.
Ludwig von Drake comes from Vienna, Austria, has a fascination with knowledge since his youth, has been trying to obtain as many diplomas in science as possible, blah, 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 blah. But he was in a lot of, like, the Wonderful World of Color episodes, some of the kids' stuff. Because I literally went back catalogs to everything. My biggest problem with some of the Disney cartoons now, especially when it's the Mickey and their traditional characters, I really dislike their animation style as an animation nut. I'm not a big fan of that particular style CG. Like, I don't know. You'll have to watch it. I don't like it.
Yeah, I really doubt I'm the market demographic for the new shit they're doing. I mean, I'm a nostalgic freak, so that's the only reason I watch all the old stuff. But fuck, it was the other week I just bought the old 20,000 Leagues with Kirk Douglas.
I liked that movie as a kid, and that movie drags as an adult. But
That movie's fucking dope. It's all performance, man. James fucking Madsen is just killing it, that whole movie. And then fucking Peter Lorre, the aforementioned Peter Lorre.
That movie's dope? Really? I mean, should I go look
Hell
to see?
Hell yeah, that movie's dope.
Just the word dope. Should I go look and see if In Living Color's back on the air? What the hell, man? Next thing you're going to say, dude, is that guy's fly.
So I'm over 30. What the fuck do you want from me? I'm not going to start fucking saying whatever the fuck kids are saying nowadays.
I couldn't tell you what they're saying nowadays.
Too old to change my slang.
I just want all the Disney stuff back. I even want their controversial stuff. Because that's the only way I'm going to even remotely spend money on this. Because at this point, I own two copies of every fucking Disney thing they've released except for the Marvel stuff. I mean, hell, I purchased at least... I bet I purchased at least two or three box sets of Star Wars at this point in my life.
Yeah, really. Do they have a sort of a release date for their stream stores?
Not that I've seen, but I also haven't been looking. If you give me a second. God, that sound is driving me nuts. This is going to be the episode with the lowest views.
Well, they actually have to view part of it before they can quit, so it does get some views.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything. I actually did it. Let's see. Oh, Disney's betting big on the 2019 streaming service, so probably. God, when would I would do it? My guess is sometime towards the summer, because why would they release? Why would they have a streaming service in the beginning of the year when school's still in? I mean, this is a guess.
Well, though. I mean, it would make sense if they did like their whole catalog and just made it available for streaming, and you have to sort of keep the monthly subscription. I think they probably just did the math and realized like we can just net billions of dollars every year.
Oh yeah.
I mean, fuck! How many people like Disney, man? It's insane.
Yeah. Well. I really don't know. I mean, I'm of multiple thoughts on this, and it just probably just because, you know, I don't subscribe to cable. I have Netflix. I have Hulu. I mean,
yeah, everybody does.
I don't want another.
The only way anymore.
Because eventually, I'm just going to pay for cable because it's the same fucking price. And I'll get, you know, that's the only issue, is it's a cost thing for me.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of finally got a little adventurous and paid for, started the 30-day trial of Amazon. I have to think about it for a second. I don't know if I'd ever want to go to Hulu because I don't really like the way Hulu sets things up. I don't like their interface.
Oh, by the way, make sure in that 30 days on Amazon Prime, if you don't cancel it, it automatically.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
does that happen to me?
And I think I'm going to keep it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on there that Netflix doesn't have. And I mean, there are still things on Netflix I'm interested in. I just, you know, I wanted more options because, I mean, they're. It's not like they're limiting their Netflix. It's not like they're limiting what they actually put out on the streaming. It's just, I don't know. I wanted something different.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I'm really interested in is Apple is the one in the streaming service race. That's kind of the unknown because they're a $1 trillion company now, and they promised to bet big on entertainment. I recently saw something in the news saying they're going to release a lot of the stuff for free for people who have their like Apple TV stuff. So Apple right now is the one I'm looking to see what happens.
Are they going to be – sorry, I was away from the mic. Are they going to be putting it through like the iTunes account?
I don't know. I know they said something about original content, which right now everybody's trying to go for. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I mean, the best thing about iTunes, like far as renting movies, is they have like a 99-cent list, and sometimes True. You catch some movies that you've never seen. So I've done that.
I don't even remember my iTunes account or password.
I think we're all becoming a bit too entertained.
Well, how are they supposed to? How else are they supposed to pacify the masses?
Well, it used to be through, you know, hard work and ingenuity and sense of community.
And LSD.
Well, you know, but I don't know. I was thinking about this earlier, thinking that...
See, I
you know,
this...
like back in the day when we used to be good at stuff, it was because everyone was kind of sort of focused on...
On getting,
you know,
better.
See, I would say this was part of the conversation.
Getting
we had.
Better, you know.
I would say this is part of the conversation we were having last week about, you know, something's toxic with current culture.
Well, no, I don't necessarily think that because I mean I'm definitely not one of those old people that all of a sudden thinks that everything these kids are doing is fucking bullshit.
I mean, you are in your 30s,
but those old
yeah,
people
no, but
were,
I'm saying specifically we're too entertained. That's my point. Where there's no kind of focus on anything that's sort of worth pursuing anymore. You know, everything is so fractal. I mean, the biggest business is basically entertainment. That's like our main export.
I'm usually doing two things at once when I'm watching television.
But
so
what I would say is this is nothing new to cultured society. The Romans had, you know, the gladiator pits. They had...
Well, that's,
orgies,
that's,
they
that's,
had
that, that,
they had a lot of things.
Let's
to...
turn it to something in the last century. I mean, that's not like that. Because I'm thinking,
why not?
I'm thinking. Well, if you think about it, like the 1930s, when the radio really started coming out, you had radio dramas, and then when it came in the radio dramas up until like the 50s when TV started coming around, so you had a couple options.
But well,
and then you had movies. So I think this.
Well, I'm putting
well,
it
look,
out there.
Here,
as...
here's what I think. Here's what I think happened. Okay. I think that we were told for the last couple of generations that we were the greatest country on the planet, and everyone basically thought that the generation before spiked the football and we were done, game over, we win. Then we stopped caring, we kicked our feet up, and we started just basically paying attention to pop culture.
I think that's always been there to some degree. I mean, hell, Kilroy was here was the very first meme, and that was in World War II.
Yeah, well, come on. I mean, really? I'm talking about literally everybody having their attention so fractal at any given point because there's four different screens in front of them. You know?
Yeah, but I do. I know people, and I think maybe it's an age thing, but I know people who like me. Like, I'll be watching TV and I'll be working at the same time. You know? So I think I agree with maybe too entertained, but maybe at this point it's. the type of entertainment. There's so much visual entertainment. I mean, like, I listen to podcasts. Maybe enough people aren't reading. And I meant reading long format, not, you know, like the news, like I read.
You mean like books?
Yeah, well, books or
novels,
like Rolling Stone stories, what are at least 12 pages.
Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's a type of entertainment.
Yeah, but what I just want to point out is the fact that this is nothing new to master cultured, you know, societies. It's not like,
but a lot of that you had to go out to community, though. This is the first time where you can be in your room and your underwear in your parents' basement and never fucking leave it.
That's a good point. So I guess in that sense, it would be the antisocial behavior it's encouraging.
Yeah, that's why I think there was something. I think there's a bunch of little things in modern culture that are toxic to some degree. And I wasn't pointing the finger at one thing, but I think it comes down to, you know, kind of my pastor says is I think it comes down to community.
It's the same. It's the same people. You know what I mean? There's nothing different. You know, everyone, you know, looks at, or I, not everyone, a blanket statement, but I've heard a lot of people talk about like, oh, but these kids today are a bunch of, you know, weak little pussies and things like that. And it's like, all right, like you guys never had pussies in the 40s.
No,
like,
but
come
that's
on.
True.
I would say
this generation behind me are a bunch of pussies.
The benefit about the kids now is the fact that I think they could handle the information. I think they grew up in a world where they're having so much information and data thrown at them that they're able to handle it better than the generations before them. You know, everybody, all of the generations before them just learned to adapt. I mean, take a look.
Well, for sure. But I was just thinking in a world standpoint, like the reason that, you know, nobody can get together to, you know, do something as simple as vote for a president. You know, I'm not even talking about who they vote for. I'm just saying that most people stay home.
Yeah,
absentee
ballot.
I love absentee ballots. It gives
so
me
I do it at home.
That's what I do. I prefer that actually. It gives me time to really consider things.
I eat prunes and a bunch of other shit, and then go to the bathroom and vote.
I wasn't trying to indict the two of you in saying you didn't vote. I was just saying that.
Well, see, I
save
think
your
that,
lives.
You know, back in the day, it was literally like people would go out and they would, you know, like vote for their city councilman and things like that. And you know, how their community was evolving was sort of important.
I think
and
that's
people
different.
Didn't have so much fucking time on their hands that they, you know, protest vegan friggin' restaurants or something.
I think that's a different indication. I think that's really kind of indicating how little hope people have in their politicians. When you have a percentage of the people that just never vote, I think that's people thinking that, like, for example, in California, Gavin Newsom's running for governor. He hasn't actually said anything. He doesn't have a statement why they should elect him. He's really not running at all, and he's going to win by de facto. And I think that's why a lot of people are going, well, what's the point?
I think he did a lot of stuff as lieutenant governor that people liked, and so they're just like, yeah, get that guy in.
Yeah, but he's not there. He hasn't actually really said anything. I mean, granted, he said some stuff, but John Cox, who's the Republican guy, has statements. He's out there. He has a bunch of stuff. Gavin Newsom hasn't done anything. So I think.
Well, Gavin Newsom's already popular.
Yeah, but if you're not even going to try to run. I mean, he's pretty much just at home drinking wine with his best friend's wife.
Well, he doesn't need to do smear campaigns. He can drop his name out there a few times, remind people that he's running and win.
No, what I'm saying
people
is,
like him.
What I'm saying, if you're not even trying and you're going to win, that brings a lot of people thinking, you know, hey, why should I try? I think there's a point there when if you don't think your vote's going to count, now how do you fix that?
I don't know. I think it really depends. There's a lot of different types of ads that'll hit a lot of different types of people. I think a lot of people are sick to death of the basically just fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
Well, no, I don't disagree, but let me put it this way. When somebody doesn't try and they still win, for me, then my point is, why should I try if this guy's going to win and if my vote and all my friends' votes don't count? And I think that's a lot of things. I think this is another indication of what's wrong with society.
Okay, hold on. One of those
years.
Things is a strategy for politics. The other is the exact reason why nobody votes is because of that exact thought.
Yes, because in reality, so let me put it this way. In the state of California, voting Republican for governor really is a waste of time. It doesn't do anything. It's just like voting Democrat in Texas. It doesn't really do anything.
Well, so, that's not necessarily true. I mean, there's a lot of people on the left that are sick to death of the liberals. There's a lot of people on the right that are sick to death of the conservatives. If you can get in there and actually speak to some issues, people will listen to you. I think that's what people are kind of dying for nowadays, is like, hey, can we just get back to people talking about like what's going to be good for the average American?
See, this is what has me, this is why I'm irritated at Gavin Newsom. I mean, I'm not saying who I'm going to vote for one way or another, but I wish he would at least try. Riding on your laurels and your past glories, it kind of pisses me off. I mean, I may or may not like John Cox, but at least he says something. Not saying anything and still winning kind of fucking pisses me off. I don't like that. I want to hear politicians, even if I disagree with them, I want to hear them say something.
Well, you know, you brought up a good point. The fact that he's
old, I shut the hell up. In a debate.
Anything. The fact that he is being so
quiet.
No, unzealous about his position. You know, like there's a lukewarm type attitude is what I would take it as. Like, what makes you think that if he's not going to actually try to get out there and put effort into his election, what makes me think he's even going to put effort in actually doing what he's supposed to be doing when he gets elected?
But on the other hand, if you know your instant okay, win, why
like
try?
I said, people are remembering what he was like as a lieutenant governor.
He didn't do much as a lieutenant governor.
I think he did a lot that people liked as a lieutenant governor.
We'll have to pay attention more. I don't remember him doing anything. This is being lieutenant governor. It's kind of like being the vice president. You're just waiting for the guy in front to keel over.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong. I would just say there's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
it just kind of pisses me off that the fact these politicians aren't running, aren't really going anywhere, aren't really doing anything. And I think that's another sign showing the toxicity of modern culture when you have politicians that don't try, and you don't have any politicians, you don't have any politicians in power actually trying to talk down the level of rhetoric. Granted, we have the Tangerine Tornado, which ups the rhetoric, but you don't have any of the major Democrats or major Republicans in the Senate or Congress going, okay, we need to calm down here. You know, this dude's going to be out in office a couple of years. Let's, you know, I think that's part of it, because you don't have like the hippies in the 60s that were pretty much anti-violent.
I wish that everybody who doesn't vote goes out there and votes for a third party candidate.
Fuck yeah.
Now, the reason being, even if that person doesn't win, it almost doesn't even matter. I mean, it's got to be one guy. It's got to be enough to it's basically got to be enough to get a third party on the ballot officially and get him into the debates. You know, if we can get a third party in the debates, all of a sudden everyone's worried about this third party. You know, nobody worries about a third party now because they're not even in the presidential.
You know,
nobody cares.
I would be totally down for it. Actually, Bernie was really close to being in there if there wasn't some funny stuff done with the politics on the Democratic National Committee.
Well, but he was running as a Democrat, though. He wasn't running as an independent.
Yeah, I mean, he should have been running as a socialist.
Gary Johnson was the other one that was.
No, nobody wants to run as a socialist. Socialism is dumb.
He would have actually gotten. Doesn't he say he's the only socialist politician in the United States? There's one guy.
No, he said he's a democratic socialist, which was kind of a different thing. And even parts of that are sometimes a little wonky, but that's open for debate.
The guy you were talking about, he shot himself.
You don't run as a socialist, just a flat out socialist. That's what Nazis are.
The guy I was going to bring up is, and Ryan and I talked quite a bit about him during the election and after the election, is Gary Johnson. I mean, he was your third party candidate. But when he went up against Trump and Hillary at all, the media didn't even really give him any type of name drop recognition anything, because they were more focused on the freak show of Hillary and Trump.
But yeah, the other thing is, Ryan
but actually,
was,
he had the most grassroots, the successful grassroots thing that I can remember.
But I think Ryan's right, though, is the fact that he wasn't enough of a factor. I guarantee if you jump him up to 30 plus percent, then he'll be somebody to reckon with, because you have the Democratic, you know, the nominee, the Republican nominee, put a third party in there that's actually in the running. They'll have no choice.
Well, the last, I would say the most televised third party candidate that I can remember, but he did such a shitty job about going about it, was Ross Perot. And he was the one that I remember had his own, had, went out and spent a lot of his own money to get airtime, to get commercials put out, to get his name out there. But since him, I really can't think of a third party candidate that even had a remote chance. It's basically for the past over 20 years, it's basically we've turned it into a two-party system when it's not.
Okay, part of Ross Perot's issues
was his freaking pointer.
What was this?
And I can hear the second from Mexico.
Eagles don't flock. You have to find them one at a time. There are but two things worth living for, to do what is worthy. No, that's not wrong. War has rules. Mud wrestling has rules. Political has no rules. The dude was a walking bad greeting card.
Well, it wasn't the fact that he was just a bad greeting card. He just...
he never...
I mean, there was a lot wrong with him. And I'm not just putting him down. I mean, there was literally a lot wrong with him when he ran.
Yeah, the only issue, though, is...
Ryan, were you old enough to remember him? Running and having these commercials and
sure, if I shows. Was, I didn't give a fuck about politics.
Well, Ross,
I really don't now. I'm really talking out of my ass, so take that with a grain of salt.
I think Ross Perot's biggest problem was the time. I think so many people at this point are fed up with Republicans and Democrats. Maybe there's the chance that we'll actually get a third party who actually really cares.
Well, let's go back to what we're saying of the overload of
information,
and the fact that when I went and actually decided to look into Gary Johnson, what his viewpoints were, what his opinions were of the political issues of this time. Dude, I literally had to do a really in-depth search just to find anything of substance about the guy.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't being publicized.
And you know what? Here's my point about the belief of voting is you're saying, you know, why vote for somebody who's the incumbent, who's just obviously going to win because it's California. Gary Johnson won as a Democrat in a Republican state of New Mexico.
Yeah, that was the only just one by, he really
just
won.
By actually talking about issues that people wanted.
Yeah. And honestly, if I really put it out to just pick a candidate, he would be the one that I would have actually have liked to go for, but my issues were his voting record and some of his extreme views on medicinal drugs. That was where my big issues were with him. But the only thing that really decided where I was actually going to place my vote was the fact of whether or not he had a chance. And he literally was not given a chance.
See, I think what's going to end up happening, I think what's going to end up having happen at this point in time is just people just going to have to take a leap and vote for the third party. Which I think this is the reason why Clinton won, because everybody wanted somebody else with Perot. So I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's any way solving this. But you know, I think maybe too much entertainment. And I don't know. See, I don't necessarily think it's the entertainment. I just think it's a lot about less community.
I think it's
a bit of both. You know what I mean? Look, I was raised on television and movies, and I'm gonna, you know, probably watch a dozen movies this week. You know, but it doesn't necessarily, just because I have access to all these things doesn't mean I should, you know, fucking mainline them end to end.
True. Well, a lot of people do.
Yeah. Anyway,
a lot of people really do.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, and there's the thing. I mean, people get all up in the conspiracy theories about fucking people in the chemtrails and they're spraying stuff to subdue the masses. Why do they need to do that when fucking Amazon Prime's doing it already?
Yeah, but see, the problem.
Why would they need to do that when Netflix already nailed it?
But here's my question: 10, 20, 30 years ago, when we were younger. You know, granted, we'd watch a lot of TV, but there's usually most of us went to church on Sunday or had other things that involved people. I'm so busy during the week, I almost never leave my house on the weekends because I'm fucking relaxing.
Right.
So I think that's another part of it, is I just think we're just so busy, you know. And if you're talking about like kids today, you know, mom gets off work, they're taking the soccer practice, you know, then choir practice, then, you know, then underwater basket weaving practice. You know, I just think there's so much things. I just think we're burning ourselves out.
Dude, do not talk about aqua basket weaving in a negative tone ever again.
I just think what's happening, think we're too busy, whether it's watching television.
I'm going to call the same rule for Primal Screaming. I don't want to hear any shit talk about Primal Screaming, guys.
And you guys can't yell about the Wilhelm scream.
Are you kidding? I count the times. I can't wait to hear if my face lights up if I hear a Wilhelm scream.
I don't know. I just think something's happening, but I did find – I'm loving kind of the new podcasts coming out that are actually story driven.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to sit down with that yet.
And instead of I found one that's a Marvel one about Wolverine in a small town in Alaska. I recently, actually today, ran into another one called Wolf 39 or something like that.
Did they have insurance?
It's about landing this. It's in the future, and they land as a station on Mars, and they're colonizing Mars, and it's the stuff that goes wrong with it. And I love the fact they're getting back to the radio dramas, which is what I love. And this is serialized.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Even the modern day versions, you know, the multiple actors and things like that. And, you know,
I do like
Audible because I don't read at home because I have a fucking television. But I'll do Audible on the way to home and on the way to work and stuff.
I love Audible.
And a few weeks back or a couple months back or whatever, I was listening to a full cast production, straight up radio play style of American God by Neil Gaiman. Hmm. It was fucking terrific.
Was it abridged?
No.
Really?
No, it was actually extended. If anything, the whole preamble was basically him saying that, you know, they approached him to do sort of the definitive edition, and he was able to add stuff that he had taken out previously and mix a few things around. And
that's so
badass.
It was
the version that he liked the most,
because I have a full production excuse me, sound effects, multiple actors of Lord of the Rings, but it's abridged, but it's absolutely amazing. I listen to it at least once a year.
Yeah, that might be something interesting to check out.
If I can
find guys, I've got to actually I've got a hard out here. I'm gonna bail on you.
Got a hard out?
Yeah, well, yeah. I wasn't gonna go
that's
with that
Hollywood speak for I gotta get the fuck out of here.
That's what she said. So we'll talk to you
later. Well, on that note,
bye.
Later.
All right, you fellas have a good night.
Yes. No.
So, so the question is, should we make this a shorter episode?
Yeah, I think we'll just make it a shorter episode.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Mr. VD himself, Ryan Preston, as always, thank you for listening.